Front Page Dramas present The Robbing Romeo. This week's Front Page Drama, The Robbing Romeo, is a dramatization of a true life story entitled Married Pretty Girls So He Could Rob Their Friends. This unusual story appears in next Sunday's issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week with your Hearst Sunday newspaper. The gayest party that the good people of the Romanian village of Baia Mare had seen in many a day wound up with most of the guests in the police station. Oh, no, the police hadn't arrested them because they were becoming loud and troublesome from over-imbibing in spirituous wines and liquors. There were no fights or inter-family feuds. The plain fact is, they had all marched down to the police station in a body to lodge a loud and vociferous complaint.
I want my money!
Everybody quiet.
Quiet! Quiet!
Well, then, what is the idea of half of this village invading my office in the middle of the night, shouting and raving like a pack of lunatics on the loose? Now then, what's up?
Oh, my money! My money
quiet,
was gone.
Please.
I wasn't a dance in anybody
quiet,
else.
Quiet, please.
Quiet!
Quiet! How do you expect me to make any sense out of that idiotic gibberish? Now, line up, everybody.
How do you want us to line up? All I want to say is...
Order, please.
Order. Order.
Now, one at a time, and don't speak until you're spoken to. First person to talk out of turn gets his head cracked and thrown into a cell. Now then, you first. Papa Salmonetti, tell me your story.
Well, my daughter Marie had just announced her engagement to young Victor Ducur there. And to celebrate it, Victor gave a party at the inn. We all came in costume, so most of us left our money, wallets, watches, and things in our great coats that we put in the cloakroom. While we were dancing, drinking, and having a good time, somebody robbed us. I lost my purse with 200 louis in it. My wife, Olga, lost her pocketbook with 50 louis.
And were there any strangers at the inn tonight?
No, just everyone invited to the party.
Well... But while all of you were busy having a good time, someone could have sneaked in and robbed you.
Yes, I suppose. And that's why we're here. We pay taxes, big ones, too, to support the police, as though we want justice. Yes. You must find the thief and get back our money and punish him. That's
why
I want my money.
Quiet, please. Quiet! Quiet!
Who is in charge here, me or you? Who has been invested with the power of administering justice, me or you?
You.
Well... How dare you come in here and try to order me about?
Pardon me. I am Victor Ducur, Sergeant. I gave the party. May I say a word?
Yes, yes, certainly. Act like a gentleman, a law-abiding citizen. Go ahead.
The thief robbed me, too. But I had such a good time, and I'm so happy about my coming marriage, that I don't mind the loss of a little money. Outside of Pa Caminescu, who is careless and carries too much cash anyway,
yes.
I don't think the others suffered much loss. I think our guests are taking the whole thing too serious.
You're perfectly right, Victor, dear. After all, you paid for the party and lost money besides. I think it's very generous of you to look at it like this.
Well, I don't care what you or anyone else thinks. I've been robbed. I pay taxes, and I insist upon proper protection. I demand the thief be caught and be brought to justice. And if the local police aren't qualified to do the job, they'd better send a book arrest and have them send out a good detective to solve the case.
Quiet.
Quiet. Quiet. I demand quiet in this courtroom or I'll have you all thrown out.
The police sent out an alarm to all the neighboring towns, asking authorities to pick up all strangers, especially if they seemed to be well supplied with money. But nothing happened. So the government in Bucharest sent out a crack detective to see if he could solve the robbery. The first visit he made was to the scene of the crime, the little village inn.
Now tell me, who paid the bill for the party, Jacob?
The groom-to-be, Victor Ducur, the young man who is going to marry Marie Salmonescu.
I see. And was that before the robbery or after?
Oh, before, quite a while before. It was right after dinner when the dancing started. I remember that because, like an old fool, I put the money in my coat pocket. And seeing all the pretty girls dancing, I felt like joining in. It was warm, so I took off my coat and hung it in the closet with the others. And that's how I got robbed, too.
Too bad. About this young Victor Ducur?
No, he's a real nice young fellow. He lost quite a bit, too. After he paid my bill and ordered lots of wine for everyone, he went around and gave all the waiters and musicians a nice fat tip. I could see he had plenty of money in his wallet. Then when he had settled up, he put his wallet back in his great coat and poof, it was stolen too.
So in reality, he lost more than anyone.
Yes, yes, I suppose so.
I see.
Oh, there. There, that's him now. He always drops in for a drink before going home. I'd like to talk to him. Oh, Victor. Victor, come over here.
Coming, Jacob? What have you got, a new wine for me to try?
No, no, Victor. I want you to meet Detective Marescu from Bucharest. He's come to catch the robber.
Oh, how do you do, Detective Marescu?
How do you do?
I think it's silly to bring you all the way here on such a trifle.
Now, if you'll just excuse me, I'll get us all a drink.
Then, you don't think this is very serious?
Well, hardly no one outside of the park, Marescu and myself, suffered any great loss. And even we didn't lose such a staggering amount. A couple of days' pay, perhaps.
I understand. But you know how these kind of people are. Excitable.
Exactly. I told them they were making a mountain out of a molehill. I, for one, am perfectly willing to forget the whole thing.
Very sensible attitude, Mr. Bucher. A lot of excitement over a petty crime that probably never will be solved. I'll just make the usual perfunctory report and let it go at that. But don't tell the others that.
Trust me. What they don't know won't hurt them. They will have forgotten the whole thing themselves in a day or two.
Victor, I knew I had something for you. Look, the pictures that Carol took just before your party. Aren't they good? Look at you and Marie.
Pictures of your party, eh? Do you mind if I take a look also?
Why not? Just help yourself.
And that is just what the detective did. He helped himself to one of the pictures when Jacob and Victor weren't looking. Unknown to even the local authorities, he had some enlarged prints made and sent to newspapers in several widely separated sections of the country. He asked anyone knowing the principal male figure in the picture to communicate with him at once. A week later, two young ladies slipped quietly and unnoticed into the little village.
Let me see. I have your letter here. Dear Miss, I'm an escort from Hossobar in the Northwest.
Yes, that's right.
And you said in your letter you could positively identify the man in this picture as Victor Bucher.
No, not as Victor Bucher. The man I knew is a living resemblance of this man and was named Miran Rokoviano.
I see. Suppose you tell me your story.
Well, about 18 months ago, I met a young man living in Hostova named Miran Rokoviano.
Mm-hmm.
Like this picture, he was quite handsome, well-mannered, and had a nice personality. He began to keep company and soon became engaged. He made a very favorable impression on my parents, relatives, and friends. They were all very fond of him.
Yes, yes, I know how it is. But tell me about the engagement.
When our engagement was announced, he gave a big dinner in my honor and invited all my relatives and friends. All those present had their pockets picked. The police never found the thief. My fiancé disappeared the next day. But he's the image of the picture of this man.
Mr. Victor Bucher, thank you. I'll probably want you to positively identify him later on. And now you are...
Well, I suppose I should be addressed as Mrs. Victor Bucher. For unless I'm badly mistaken, I took one step further than his other victim, for I married him. He came to spend the summer in our town, which is Telefat, near the mouth of the Danube.
I see. And although you married him, I suppose the technique of the robbery was the same.
Yes, except that it was after the wedding celebration that all my friends and guests were robbed.
Uh-huh.
We lived in a rather large house, and a number of my friends and relatives were house guests. Several of them had very valuable jewelry. He must have drugged some of the wine, because everyone slept so soundly that the robbery wasn't discovered until the following morning when I found my bridegroom had disappeared.
Then in addition to robbery, he's added bigamy to his crime. I'm going to ask both you ladies to come with me downstairs to the inn. We will take a table in a secluded corner where this Victor Bucher won't be able to see us when he comes in. And I want you both to observe him carefully. Listen to his voice and make sure he's the same man. Then I'll call him over and surprise him. If you're both ready, we'll go downstairs. Now, don't get impatient, ladies. It's a little past the time he makes his usual appearance. But I'm sure he'll be along any minute now.
Good evening, Jacob.
Good evening, Victor.
Can I have my usual drink over here by the window?
Certainly, Victor. I have it already here.
Quiet now.
Victor, when is the marriage going to take place? Could be pretty soon now, eh? I hope when you do get married, I won't lose a good customer.
Not on your life, Jacob. I'll always drop in on my way home. Marriage may change a lot of my habits, but not this.
Well, ladies, what do you say? Is that our man?
Absolutely. I'd know him anywhere. That breezy manner and that voice. I couldn't mistake him. Yes, that's the next I married. There isn't the slightest doubt.
Oh, good. Now, just remain seated and excuse me. I'll be right back.
Well, hello, Mr. Bucher.
I thought I recognized your voice. I was passing through, so I thought I'd drop in and say hello. You remember me?
Oh, yes, the gentleman from Bucharest. Why, certainly.
I have a couple of very attractive young ladies I'd like you to meet. In fact, they expressed a desire to meet you. Won't you join us?
Why, I'd be delighted. Jacob, serve my order over here with my friend.
Come along. My lady friends are over here.
There we are, Victor. Ladies, may I present Victor Bucher. This is...
You here? Why, this is a trick.
That's just what it is, Victor. A trick to identify you. But now I arrest you on charges of robbery and bigamy.
Bucher tried to squirm out of the corner he was in, but he was trapped and finally blurted out the whole story. Getting engaged to girls so that he could clean up on their folks and their friends was his racket. And up to now, he had been doing all right at it. He admitted that he personally did the robbing while his guests were busy enjoying themselves. He went through the pockets of their clothes and even became adept at lifting wallets and small change from jackets hung on the backs of chairs and on pegs on the wall. You have just heard The Robbing Romeo, a dramatization of the story, Married Pretty Girls So He Could Rob Their Friends, which appears in next Sunday's American Weekly. See this and all the other splendid stories, articles, and feature fiction to be found in each issue of The American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world, which comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper.